in the night. Your heart fills with dread, probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed. You'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinister Who?
Hello and welcome to another edition of Freaky Friday, where we tell your odd but true stories. It is Friday, April 12th, 2024. We all survived the eclipse, and now we're here to bring you some odd but true tales. And thanks to everybody that heeded our calls to action, asking specifically for some certain tales. Thank you.
There are. I think before we get started, there was a major celebrity death today.
Oh, yeah. OJ Simpson's dead.
We all just kind of went... That's a shame.
One of my friends said, do you think he'd left a deathbed confession? I would hope so, but I find that unlikely, honestly.
No, I think that confession happened in that interview where he basically admitted to it, but without admitting to it.
Yeah, he just sort of let it out and then was like, but hypothetically, I'm like, first of all, stop laughing. And second of all, we all know it was not hypothetical, you monster. But Taylor Swift says... trash takes itself out every time. And there it is. It's gone. And if it sounds like heartless to say that about another human, just read Jeffrey Toobin's book that describes and details all of the documented domestic violence against Nicole, even before and without the murder.
Yeah. Oh, and not just Nicole. Other women. Many other women, too. And including long after he murdered her. Because when you don't put away people like that... they tend to keep doing shit that they
shouldn't. Yeah, pretty violent. Yeah, you wonder too. I mean, it's not an excuse, but someone brought up like being in the NFL and having a predilection towards violence of just head injury after head injury, because there is some sort of a CTE connection, at least in some cases. And I wonder if they'll look at his brain afterwards to see if he had any CTE. Yeah.
That'll be interesting if he... Do you have to give them permission ahead of time?
Like, I think so.
You can donate it to science. I know. I mean, it's honestly, he's an asshole. I doubt he did. He's taking it all with him.
Keep it. But I think it's the Boston University laboratory on CTE that like has an agreement with the NFL, and the players get the opportunity of like, if you want to be a part of this, you can. So
that's really great.
We'll see if he joined.
We will see. Well, Freaky Friday indeed. The eclipse. A major, I don't even want to call him a celebrity, just a major death.
Notorious person.
Notorious, yes. And a lot of stories about hotel stuff.
Yes.
And some astral projection stuff. But before we get to that, we're going to astral project ourselves to what we didn't even realize is 13 cities. Lucky 13. We are going back on tour, and it's so very soon. It's just coming up. Less than a month away is the first day, which is wild. But if you haven't been to our Full Moon Energy Tour before, or even if you have, because we've added some things now.
Oh, it's changing at the end, especially. We got some new developments.
There's been some developments. There's now a time zone on the moon, or plans for there to be one, which, what is it? Moon Universe Time? MUT?
Central Moon Time.
Central CMT, Central Moon Time. But we are coming to St. Louis, Chicago, Milwaukee, Charlotte, Raleigh, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Toronto, Kansas City, Oklahoma City, San Diego, Phoenix, Las Vegas, and Dallas, and maybe more. We'll keep you posted on that. If you have not been, though, Heather, what can they expect? Or even if they have been, what can they expect to see again?
Oh, we got a whole show all about the darker side of the moon, what it does to us, what lurks up there, and what people think really happened during the Apollo missions. We cover legend, lore, mystery, macabre, all kinds of wild stuff. And we have some audience participation as well. So we love that when y'all bring the energy to us. We get y'all to vote on stuff, to boo certain celebrities. I'm so sorry, Ben Affleck. So if you're in any of those cities Christy just listed off, and if she listed them and you're like, I didn't write it down, it's okay. You get details on all of this, dates, times, venues, and more at sinisterhood.com/live shows. And if you have any recommendations of places to go, things to eat, things to do in any of those cities, please shoot us an email. We love that. I have a little itinerary for every city we go to, and I will paste them in our shared notes so that we can all visit them. We do appreciate it, and we take your recommendation seriously. So sinisterhood.com/live shows and see what date, where we're going. Come see us and then let us know where to eat, please.
Please, yes. Or any other bizarre. We like to look up weird stuff. What's the weird thing to do in this city? Because a lot of times we just have 24 hours and we're like, we got to just hit something weird.
Please.
We've gotten some really cool little adventures out of that. So I look forward to it again. I'm also straight up trying to go to the Sphere in Vegas. So
we will do
if
that.
If anybody's got a Sphere connection.
Holler.
I guess you could just get tickets. I don't think it's that difficult to go.
I think you call Bono and then he'll let you in the Sphere.
Oh, we are close. So I'll text Bono. We were texting earlier, so I'll mention it. And also, we're probably going to go to the haunted, Zach Bagans Haunted Museum.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I have to. I don't want to, but I have to. Yeah, it's necessary. I would be remiss if we did not go. So it's anything like that, weird, quirky, wild stuff, let us know, please.
Let us know. Well, speaking of weird, quirky, and wild, let's get started. I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get freaky. This first one is from April. And it is called, My Ex Stalked Me with Astral Travel. Hello, ladies. I just got done listening to your episode on the Gateway Project, and it had me thinking about an experience I had as a young woman that I thought you may find interesting, or at the very least, might speak to someone who needs to hear it. Let's get into it. Content warning, discussions of stalking and obsessive behavior. When I was in high school, I dated the same boy for 4 years. He was a little older than me, funny, and mysterious. I loved him in a way you can only love when you're 16, which is to say, all-encompassing and naively. My boyfriend was, for lack of a better word, intense, and as much as my parents tried to discourage us, we were inseparable. He wanted to see me every day and go to every event, family or otherwise, and latched onto me at every chance he got. But it didn't just stop at wanting to be together during the day. He would also tell me that he often astral traveled to me just to be with you, going into great detail on how he did it and mystifying me with how spiritual and deep he was. Yeah, I know, I was silly, but it was a post-Twilight world and shit was romantic when you're 15 and hormonal. At first, I didn't believe him. I told him he was just dreaming. But that little shit could tell me what PJs I wore. He would tease me about if I drooled last night. Eventually, I had to tell him to please stop. It was just way too much. Unfortunately, I didn't realize how much it was until the end of school, when I started noticing he was literally draining my energy. I would be exhausted by the end of a visit, and had started dreading seeing him at all. He was a textbook definition of a psychic vampire, and I was over it. When I finally cut it off, let's just say it didn't go well. He would show up at the house and try to insist on talking to me, call the house several times a day in hopes I would pick up and talk to him, and worst of all for me, write me essay-long messages about how my loss had taken a toll on him and how he had ideations of self-harm that he was sure would go away if I would just come back, which is bullshit, by the way. For all you young listeners out there who need to hear this, you are not responsible for anyone else's mental health or happiness. If a partner or friend ever makes you feel like their well-being is your responsibility at detriment to your own, please run. Others' actions are never your fault. Please be safe. People you love are willing to help you get out of that situation. A while passed and I was able to move on. I got some counseling and was able to heal a lot from the trauma he caused. I started a spiritual journey after a year or so, not uncommon in people seeking healing. But as I learned and opened up new senses, I started picking up on things I wasn't comfortable with. Every now and again, I could sense my ex in the room with me, especially at night. I would be meditating or trying to do some guided dreaming, and I would just pick up on him lurking. It was so violating, and sometimes my parents or sisters would catch me yelling at a corner to, "Get the fuck away from me, you creep!" I would even sometimes see him in a dream, standing behind in the background or sitting across a room from me. Those always made me wake up and feel like I needed a shower. I didn't dare reach out after that much time in separation. I didn't want to open up communication anyway. So I reached out to other practicers and tried to learn to protect myself. Maybe it was all in my head and maybe I was just deeply gaslit, but the warding and cleansing worked, so far be it from me to look a gift placebo in the mouth. I'm happy to say it's been over 10 years now. I'm happy, healthy, safe, and grounded for the most part. What I went through was abusive. It took a long time to heal, but I did with the help of others and sometimes medication. I hope if you read this on air and someone sees themselves in this story, they know that abusers come in all shapes and sizes. What is happening to you is not your fault, and that you can and will be okay again. Please just reach out and do what you need to do to be safe, even if that is screaming at your closet to leave you the fuck alone. Anyway, love the pod. Thanks for doing what you do. Hope to get to see you live someday, April.
Well, April, thank you for that pep talk. I think that's something that we all need to be reminded of, but especially, like you said, younger listeners, because you hit the nail on the head, too. Post-Twilight, that's when something is so, like, it's so culturally
like
significant.
Like a pop culture thing happens where it, like, kind of sweeps the nation.
I love you, Bella.
And everybody gets wrapped on it. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's showing a relationship in what we would say is an unhealthy way, because he's literally a vampire, but also, on top of that,
it's
just kind of
toxic,
like,
relationship.
Obsessive and following and stuff like that. So, yeah.
But it's romanticized to where young teens then think, oh, this is love. This is what it means to be in love. And I get it.
I want you to be like Edward.
Yeah, yeah. Or what's the other one?
Jacob.
Jacob, yeah. Be like Jacob. Don't be like Edward. I've changed. I'm Team Jacob now. I used to be Team Edward.
Come see Full Moon Energy. You'll hear why. Yeah, Full Moon Energy changed you.
I hard relate to that. It's the only type of love, like, that you can love when you're 16, 17, because we don't know what the fuck we're doing. Mm-mm. And when I look back on, like, people that I thought I loved at that point, I'm
honey.
Wow, what a toxic relationship that was.
Right? You're like, what was I doing? No,
but
seriously.
But you get swept up in it and you don't know any better. And I mean, it's kind of like, that's part of growing up is learning, like, what you're willing to accept and what you're not willing to accept. And
boundaries.
I'm very proud of you for saying no. And don't just stop fucking with me during the day, but get the fuck out of my room at night when I'm trying to sleep. That is not cool. You can't be bobbing and going into people's houses and bodies when they don't want it.
No, and if I'm glad that just yelling, get the fuck away from me, I think that there's something to that of, like, kind of sending out, like, a get the fuck away energy that maybe that'll disrupt whatever he was thinking of. Or maybe he just was such a bad guy that your brain, you know, he puts him up in your room. But I don't know, if he said he was trying to do it, there could be something to that energy. Mm-hmm. But like you said,
and
do what you gotta
do. Right. Even if he wasn't, it's a form of emotional and mental abuse to tell someone that you are, because it's basically saying, I'm watching you all the time, even when you sleep.
There's
you know?
Nothing you can do about it. Yeah.
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 Which is very abusive. Yeah.
It is. So fuck that guy and let him astral project up his own ass.
Man.
Astral project.
He's going to astral project right on up there and he doesn't get to come back. He gets stuck up there
forever.
Well, thank you so much, April.
Sinisterhood will be right back.
Well, as we all know, neither of us really particularly enjoy cooking, but we love to eat and we love to eat good tasting food. Mm-hmm. So when Factor came into my life and I'm like, I can have chef prepared meals that taste like somebody's been grilling over a stove all day. Mm-hmm. Yes, please. And it only took me 2 minutes to microwave. That is what I'm talking about.
That's what I'm talking about too. And I have a habit of eating stuff over and over again until I get sick of it. So then I'm like, oh, if it's pre-prepared meals, I'm going to get sick of them. But no, with Factor, you have 35 different options a week to choose from. Keto, calorie smart, vegan, veggie, more. And you have 55 nutrition-packed add-ons that help make the weekly meal planning even more delicious. Get you some smoothies, some juices. They have the snacks that you eat, but those smoothies are my favorite. That tropical
smoothies
baby. I think about it.
Everything I've had, beef, chicken, rice, pilaf, all of it. Like literally everything I've had is so good. And I have friends that just have had it on their own, and they're like, they are the best, mm-hmm. aren't they? And like, yeah, they really are good. We're not just blowing smoke up your ass.
No.
They really are delicious.
It makes it more delicious because it's no prep, no mess. It gets delivered to your house, and it's ready to eat. When I'm hungry, I'm hungry now. I'm not trying to go shop at the grocery store and then cook and then do a whole cleanup after. I'm just trying to go now, and this is what Factor offers us.
Yep. And if you're wanting more of an upscale option for special occasion meals, you can do the Factor Gourmet Plus, mm-hmm. which if you want to pretend like you cooked something for a special someone, I'm not going to rat
you out.
We
won't tell you. Yeah, we won't tell.
No.
Not at all. And plus, it's Earth Day, so look for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu. There's the lowest carbon footprint meal, so Factor's always keeping an eye out for that as well. Head over to factormeals.com/creepy50 and use code creepy50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box.
That's code creepy50 at factormeals.com/creepy50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. This next one is from Balin, and this required me sending a group text to our besties over and That's Why We Drink, because the subject line is, your friends at And That's Why We Drink got my ass haunted. Hi there. Before I start, I just wanted to say that you are both are so wonderful and intelligent, and listening to your podcast is one of my weekly highlights. I cannot appreciate enough how you always give those who are victimized a voice and treat them with love and kindness. I thought you might be interested to hear this story because I'm not sure how many people have been haunted by a podcast topic. Now, on to the story. My father and I are both sensitive to paranormal experiences. He was raised on an isolated farm in Appalachia and taught me all of the rituals and warnings that come along with the entities that live in those forests. My mom worked in the criminal drug courts and has always been fascinated by true crime. Needless to say, I've always been intrigued by everything spooky, scary, or unexplained. So when I was first getting into listening to podcasts, I explicitly looked for those that aligned with those topics. This led me to And That's Why We Drink, and of course, you. In one of their first episodes, Em and Christine talk about a demon that haunts Ouija boards. Sorry for not saying the name outright, but since this night, I don't say, write, or even think its name. Em, however, did say it many times, and that is what is known to summon it. I was listening in my apartment while doing dishes, and it was turned up loud. I had never felt anything in this space, despite the last occupant having died in my bedroom, which was not told to me before I rented. And as I said before, I am sensitive to those energies, especially the dark ones. But while the podcast was going, I started to feel the hair standing up on my neck and arms. You know how you can tell when someone is watching you? Yeah, that feeling. I figured I was just creeped out and turned the podcast off while I finished up the chores I was doing. But after 20 minutes, the feeling hadn't subsided and only got worse. It got so bad that I took my cat and went for a drive because I was nervous about leaving her in that space without me. When I returned to the apartment, my roommate was home, and I thought that it was nothing and just me being overly dramatic. I quickly found out that was not the case. I got ready for bed. And in that apartment, I always slept with my door closed so that my cat wouldn't roam at night and get into anything. It shut just fine, and I went to sleep. But at midnight, I woke up to the sound of the door opening. As soon as I saw it standing open, not moving, I started feeling the staring again. I tried to tell myself that it was simply the kitty trying to get out and using her paws to pull it open, and I must just not have shut it fully. I shut the door again and managed to fall back asleep, only to wake up not 15 minutes later to the door standing open once again. This time, my cat was fully asleep between my feet, and I knew she hadn't moved. To say the least, I was fully crawling out of my skin. I got out of bed and shut the door firmly. And this is the worst part. I watched the door to see if something was stuck or causing the opening, a scientific explanation to stop the panic. As I watched, the doorknob twisted in front of me. Not smoothly, just a jerky back and forth motion, and it began to push open once again. When I say I slammed it shut, I was terrified. Whatever was behind that door, it was a heavy, oppressing force, and I unfortunately recognized it from other experiences I'd had. I personally believe ghosts are never evil, nor can they cause harm to the living. Anything that does is not, and never was, human. This was not human. I cannot tell you how glad I am that my father taught me about the welcoming of entities into spaces. He always said, if you don't welcome it in, they cannot cross a threshold. I locked the door and spoke out loud. You are not welcome into this space. You have no power here. Luckily, the door didn't open again after that. But needless to say, I didn't sleep at all that night. I could feel whatever was standing there behind the shut door. I knew the barrier wasn't enough to stop it from watching me. The next day, I cleansed the entire apartment and told the entity over and over that it was not welcome. Luckily, it must not have been able to attach to me or anyone else there. Though only a week after this incident, my roommate with a chronic illness had a seizure, after being seizure-free for over a year. I don't know if they're related, but I wouldn't rule it out. I never did finish that episode, and honestly, I have no interest in trying to. Thank you for reading this story, even if it doesn't make it to the podcast. I'd love to write in about how my great-grandmother's spirit possessed a plant when I saw a cryptid in the woods, not a Bigfoot, sorry, Christy, although I think you mean Heather, or how my father saw the devil's face sometime. Keep up the great work and know you are loved. Well, thank you for that, first of all.
Thank you. That's very sweet.
That's very sweet. And I also want to see a Bigfoot, but yes. I think Heather's...
I'm hungry for
the
it.
Bigfoot, and she's hungry for
I'm hungry for it. Well, Balin, I think you got to avoid our Patreon mini-sodes, because I think perhaps the demon, the Ouija board demon, I won't say it, because I don't want to jack with your vibe where you're at right now, because I'm assuming you're going to listen to the episode of your stories on, but we did a mini-sode on it, and so we said it a bunch of times too, so sorry about that.
Yeah.
But it always cracks me up, like whether it's the Ouija board demon or like certain dolls that are more, they're rougher than, even one of the dolls we covered, I did not know that people have quite a visceral reaction to him, as well as another doll that we have not covered. And I've seen, like, when our pals, like, if Emma Christine covered, or Last Podcast on the Left, or Two Girls, One Ghost, on social media, people would be like, you get this shit out of my feed! You're cursing me with these pictures! And I was like, so I think, you know, when these entities, man, they can come through the airwaves. The devil rules the airwaves. We've been saying it for six years now.
Since 2018, yeah. Everybody. I know, until TikTok, anytime there's something like that, everyone in the comments is like, I rebuke this energy.
Yeah.
You cannot come into my house. And I'm like, I don't know how they get around. What was that Kevin Bacon movie where he traveled through the Wicker Man?
Didn't he travel through the...
If you hear a beast in the background at my house, it's not a demon. It is Petal, who I decided to let roam around the backyard because it's such a nice day. And now she's trying to get in the studio.
She'll just be like, yeah, man, I filmed her screaming the other night. That sounds like the calls of a devil for sure.
It does, for real. I'm always like, my neighbors are going to think, we've asked them and they're like, no, we never hear her. I'm like, I don't know how, man. She can
wake
up
they got
the
their
dead.
TV up loud or something. Well, you next time just go, you are not welcome in this space. You have no power here.
She has to go back.
Yeah. She just gets like, hur! But maybe that's when people comment that. It's like the digital equivalent of what Balin's dad said to do, of like, I rebuke this energy, don't come at me. But yeah, I got chills for real thinking about a doorknob twisting. That does something to me. It makes me feel...
Not even twisting, like... Yeah, because that's like... energy more than a human hand twisting it, you know?
I hate it. I hate it so much. Yeah. But I will keep that in my back pocket. So tell your dad, thank you. You are not welcome in this space. You have no power here. Which we had in the last one with April saying, get the fuck out of here. So see, it works.
It does work.
Get the fuck out.
Get the fuck out. Also, if your dad has any Appalachia stories,
please.
I am on the Appalachia algorithm on TikTok, and I'm not mad about it because shit is wild out there. So I would love to hear. Or your mom, too. Yeah, right? Obviously you're going to grow up with an interest in this. This is why every night Simon's favorite book is National Park Cryptids.
I love that. I can't
that we go through. Last night it was like, Ella, go to the Kentucky Goblin. I want to see Kentucky Goblin. I was like, oh, I got to get video of you just saying all. Because he'll be like, what's this one called? I'm like, this one is called the Bone Rock Slider. He's like, Bone Rock Slider. Like, he just repeats all of them.
He's going to, like, memorize them like flashcards. Mm-hmm. I love it. Oh, when he goes, he starts school in the fall, and they're going to be like, he knows his ABCs, his 1, 2, 3s, all of his national park cryptids. You're like, every one of them. Yeah, he memorized them this summer.
All of them. Oh, yeah. They're like, oh, it's perfect. Oh, this must be Ella's brother. We've already heard about all these cryptids.
Yeah, right. Oh, the girl that came in the Flatwoods Monster shirt. Yeah, that's the one. It's her brother, for sure. Oh, I love it. Well, yeah, please send us those Appalachia stories, any stories. It sounds like your family's got a breadth of experience. Yeah. I'd love to hear about all that. And thank you for sending this one in. It is eerie. And Em and Christy didn't mean it. They're good people. And they were just covering the topic like we did. And I was ignorant, just yelling it out that whole mini-sode. Sure. So skip that one. But the rest of them are good. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
Well, we asked for hotel motel stories. Lexi came in with a good, well, actually Lexi's dad, which I love this. This literally brought a smile to my face when I was reading this because we've had a couple of like updates recently of people's parents' stories getting read and they're like, when my mom heard this, she cried.
It like
cried.
Makes him so happy.
Yeah, and it's like, yeah, and I'm like, because that is a cool thing, you know?
Yeah,
and
you're like we love on the radio, but like not a radio, right, you know, it's like on demand.
When people listen together with their families or their partners and stuff and can share that, it always makes us super happy. And this is one of those examples.
Yeah.
So the subject of this is Motel Robber Caught by Resident Ghost. Lexi writes, hi, ladies. Love the podcast. Hope I can finally see you live next time you're in the Buffalo or Toronto area.
July 19th.
When Heather asked for more hotel stories in last week's Freaky Friday episode, I immediately called up my dad and told him to write about one of his experiences as an owner of a haunted motel. This was the most excited that I'd seen him in a long time, and he emailed it back to me within 30 minutes. I know. So here's his story. July 25th, 1814, the bloodiest battle of the War of 1812 took place on Drummond Hill in the Battle of Lundy's Lane, Niagara Falls, Ontario. Canada had not yet been formed as a nation when British and American forces fought for what was then Upper Canada on that fateful night. Each side lost 800 men and many horses in the 6-hour surprise slaughter. In the end, the Americans retreated, leaving the hill to the British. Oddly enough, what should have been designated and preserved as a historic site, we were granted approval to build our 35-unit motel on that very hill, just below the cemetery where many of the dead are buried. That year was 1986. We always respected and honored the significance of this site, even erected a large mural to commemorate that event. Needless to say, our motel was very haunted. Most notably, soldiers were seen by our small staff walking in the basement, as if they were alive, in the flesh. We never felt scared, but rather protected. We honored them, and they protected us. It was a couple years into our business that I was sleeping in the back room of the office when, during a severe thunderstorm, a loud crack suddenly woke me from a deep sleep. I thought it was thunder that maybe shook the place so hard it cracked one of the front windows. When I jumped up to open the curtain, there stood a stunned man, no more than 3 feet from me. Clearly, he had tried to break in, smashing the plate glass. I immediately snapped on the light and scared him off. In the thundering rain, he quickly jumped back into his topless Jeep and rode off. My first reaction was of joy, that this thief was, at the very least, now getting soaked as he escaped the scene of his crime. It was 3 a.m. Rain was pouring down. Lightning struck all around us. And here, some fool thought it was a good idea to break into our motel. I put on some clothes and ventured out to check on the damage, when I couldn't believe my eyes. He had lost his wallet right by the window he broke. Everything was there. Name, address, credit cards, even some money. The police were just as surprised as I was. I forget what his name was now, but the cops went right to his home to return his lost wallet and proceeded to arrest him for breaking and entering. I can only imagine this guy's shock. The thief ended up in court. Turned out, he was actually a front desk clerk at another hotel, and according to him, stopped on the way home to relieve himself in the nearby bushes. The judge didn't buy his story that it was just an impulsive lapse in judgment. He was fined and had to pay restitution. To this day, I believe that our friendly spirits protected us that night, 100%. No crime is simply that easy to solve. Lexi writes, "So ladies, what do you think? Foolish robber who loses his valuables too easily? Or soldier ghost protecting my family? Either way, my dad can write a book of all the stories from our golden years at the motel. Hopefully, now in his semi-retirement, he'll finally get started. Thanks for reading, Lexi and Julius." Yes, like Julius Caesar.
Well, Julius, please write that book. I would read it. Your writing is so compelling. I was right there with you, man. I've like envisioned all of it. And I like the end of that's very beyond belief fact or fiction. What do you think? Foolish robber who loses his valuables? That's fact. All of it is true. I really think you're right, though. The wallet being right there. Like almost placed. I love the idea that the soldier's like, "Well, I'm a ghost, so I can't stop him. Let me just push him over," or like, you know, let just a little bit of energy, just enough to move a wallet. Yeah, a little tap, like something lightweight that you have enough energy. And maybe with the thunder and lightning, it like juiced him up somehow. I don't know how ghost energy works, but I like to think it like it's like Frankenstein. It helps him like get more energy.
They get zapped.
Yeah, they got zapped.
So, well, I do think that this guy was quite surprised. You know, he got home. He was like, "Son of a bitch. I don't got any." And one, because it's such a bitch to replace everything you lose in your wallet. But more importantly, you've left your little literal identification at the scene of crime you committed. Scene. You moron.
Yeah, what a fool. I love the respect for the soldiers, too. That's what Nelson from the Ghost Guild, our resident paranormal advisor, was always like, being respectful to the entities. And, you know, like when we were at the Battleship North Carolina, like thanking them for their service and making sure you have almost like a rapport. Because like Julia said, like, we're building our motel here, but we're going to make sure we honor the site with not only just a mural and be like, yeah, I don't know, some dumb battle, you know, but like ongoing, like this is an important place.
Yeah. And even though the city or the state, whoever does those things, might not have put it as like a historic site, the fact that you took the time to do that speaks volumes to your character, because a lot of people would just be like, "I don't want anybody knowing that stuff happened here."
Yeah, it'll bum them out or whatever. And it's like, well, it's first of all, it's true. And second of all, it's like disrespectful to the lives that were lost for, you know, even though it was way back when, it's, you know, it's still the energy and the sacredness of that ground. So I love that. But yeah, get you to writing, Julius. Get out that old laptop, get you a notebook out, whatever it takes, and write that down. I want to read it.
For sure. This was very well written, and I would love to hear more stories like this. So thank you, Lexi, for sending this in July 19th. Just saying, you and Julius.
If I met Julius, I would die. Like, please. Like, I would hit the ceiling if I met, like, are you kidding me? That's what y'all don't understand is you get stoked to meet us, but just as much, we get so excited to meet you. Like, whether it's y'all sending a Freaky Friday story or you're in the chat on the Q&As or you're commenting on our Patreon Facebook group, like, we recognize your names and we're like, my God, it's you. So, please identify yourselves when we see you in Toronto on July 19th.
Yes, I'm very excited for Toronto, too. It's one of my favorite cities.
It's beautiful. Very in the summertime, shut up. Oh, it's going to be so good.
If you are from that area and there are places we need to go, please let us know, because I think we're going to stay for a few days to get to just do some sightseeing. We went to the Toronto Islands last time, which was phenomenal. Might have to go back there. That boat
I just
want to
ride the boat. Yeah, I want to ride that boat again.
I think about that boat ride often.
That's like a shut your eyes, like what's a beautiful place to be. For me, it's like there's certain areas in Chicago, which I'm also very excited for us to go back to. And then that boat ride, like that water. I think riding on water on boats and stuff is always like my happy place. So I can't wait. We'll see y'all soon. Soon! Sinisterhood, we'll be right back. This next one's from Jess, and the subject line is, "Sir, that's not an acceptable form of payment. A night shift hotel employee story." Hi, ladies. Love you both, and I'm so excited to answer the call for wild hotel employee stories. When I was in college, I worked as a night auditor at a 200-room chain hotel. This was an ideal job because I basically got paid to watch movies and do schoolwork uninterrupted. I mean, sure, I was literally the only employee there from 11 p.m. to 7 a.m., and yeah, there were absolutely zero security measures in place, but I was young and dumb, and it was the year 2000. So, this particular hotel had a few decent-sized banquet rooms that were sometimes rented out for weddings. These weddings were usually over by the time my shift started, but the night in question was one of those rare ones that was still in full swing. It was almost 1 a.m. before the last guests had stumbled back to their room and the banquet staff cleared out for the night. All was quiet for about a half hour, and then a young tuxedoed dude bro appeared at the front desk. You know that kind of drunk when you can't even open your eye and stand up straight, but you're convinced you're doing a great job of acting sober? That was this guy. He smiled and leaned against the lower part of the front desk for support and said, "I need a room." Sure, I said. "I just need your ID and a credit card." Dude bro started chuckling to himself. Not in a creepy way, but in a drunk baby I have a funny joke kind of way. "I don't got my wallet," he slurred. "I only got this." This was his flaccid dick, which he had flopped onto the counter and was gazing at with the pride of an Olympian who just won gold. In that moment, I wasn't scared. I didn't feel threatened. In fact, I didn't feel like I was in danger at all. I was just really pissed that this drunk fucker was keeping me from my paperwork. I looked him in the eyes, deadpanned, and said, "Nope." Ladies, I honestly don't know if he put it away or not, but he turned around laughing like, well, a young drunk jackass, and then he disappeared right out the front door and into the night. Now, I did call two male friends to come sit in the lobby with me for the rest of the evening, and I did call the police who came to take my statement, but nothing ever came of it, and there were no further reports of a drunk guy exposing himself to anyone in town. I would like to think that if something like that happened nowadays, the police would treat it much differently. And again, intuition told me that this guy wasn't going to hurt me, so I don't know. I was young and dumb. I have a million stories about my time at the hotel. Here's a shameless plug. I've written some of them here on Medium at JALCONAWAY. I look forward to hearing fellow night shifter stories. Keep up the great work, y'all, and please consider coming to the East Coast sometime soon.
Oh, man. I feel like we all know exactly who this guy is.
Yeah, that we fucking can picture guy. Him. Yeah, and at the if you went up guy. To the bride or groom or like somebody in the wedding party and be like, "One of your guests pulled his dick out," they're like, "Oh, God damn it, that's Derek." And you're like, yeah. They all just immediately would know, like, that guy's yeah. a menace. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and by himself.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's pathetic, how honestly.
Drunk he is. Because yeah. to do it in front of a friend where you're like, "Look at what I'm about to do, I'm going to get a laugh." But he was just by himself, just... Mm-mm. Yeah, I applaud your refusal to entertain his
yes.
dumb shittery at all and just, nope, not doing that.
Steely reserve, just like, get out and take yeah. your little worm with you. Like, I'm not here for it. Put that away. Certainly, sir, we don't accept right. that here.
No, we don't take payment so small.
No, but you're right, Jess. That Paris had that same night auditor job in college, and he said the same thing once. He's like, I go, "So like, were the doors locked?" And he was like, "Back then, no." Like,
isn't that just wild?
People just go in yeah. anytime. Do it's whatever. I'm like, thank God nothing happened.
Even today, people mm-hmm. that work night shifts of any kind, especially mm-hmm. when like the public is coming and going at those types of hours, y'all are doing a certain kind of work that I'm not cut out for. It's a certain type of person, and I applaud everyone that can do it because
yeah, shout out. It's hard work, yeah, especially the sleeping especially, too, but
yeah,
being out, you know, just like interfacing with God knows what's fixing to walk through the door. Yeah. So, but this, at least he didn't pull out like a gun, but limp dicks right under, you know, like, I don't want any of that. Can you just not no. fuck with me? I'm just trying to work. I'm trying to do my homework and my paperwork, like, fuck straight off.
Yeah. And then he didn't even get a room.
No, and he's so like, "Oh, like, what? Bye."
Yeah, he's like, they're like, "Derek, we gotta go." He's like, "Oh God, I just gotta stop by the front desk first." They're like, "Derek, if you pull your dick out,"
God.
He's like, "I'm not gonna do it this time, Derek."
I don't know, Derek.
We know that you're gonna do
it. You said it last time that you weren't gonna do it, and mm-hmm. you still did it. Oh, man. Well, he is banned from several motel chains. I hope he should be at least.
Yeah. If you pull your dick out to anybody in any kind of retail situation or customer service, you're automatically banned from their establishment.
No, I agree. Because that's not conduct becoming of a gold status member. It's just...
No, that's not how you become an executive suite member at a Marriott Bonvoy, is just pulling your flaccid dick out.
No, it's horrible. And everybody keep it in your pants. No one wants to see that. So always. It's just a PSA.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this next one is from Alex. And the subject line is, it's a twin thing. Hi, I absolutely love the show. And while I was listening to Freaky Friday 106, I heard Heather's request for twin stories and one immediately came to mind. I have a fraternal twin, meaning we were separate eggs, but the same pregnancy. Not quite cool as identical, but I'll take it. My twin's name is Katie, and although we are not exactly the same genetic material, we do seem to have a strong connection to each other just from being womb mates, as Katie likes to call it. In school, we would frequently freak teachers out by asking the exact same question or making the exact same comment as one another, despite being in different periods of the class and not seeing or speaking to each other in between. But the best example of our twin thing was back in elementary school. I was outside for gym class and got stung by a bee on my pinky finger. I told my teacher, but strangely enough, it didn't hurt at all, so I just kept playing. About 10 minutes later, my PE teacher checked in on me, and though I still was not feeling any pain, my hand had swollen up significantly, and I was told I would have to go to the nurse's office to look at it. While at the nurse's office explaining what happened and putting an ice pack on my hand as I was telling her it wasn't a big deal, please, can I please go outside? Katie came in, tears streaming down her face. Through her tears, she told the nurse and I that her hand had randomly started hurting very badly and she couldn't figure out why. I gave her a hug and handed her my ice pack, and the nurse just stared at us dumbfounded. I know it's a little silly, but I hope you enjoyed reading about Katie's and my twin thing. Have a great day, Alex. Katie absorbed your pain.
That's so sweet. But I also love that y'all in elementary school, all of these adult teachers are like, what the fuck is happening right now?
Your sister said the same thing.
Twins are doing something.
Did your sister tell you that? Did your sister tell you to ask me that? It's like, No, we don't even see each other in between classes. But that's so eerie to like have a bee sting and be like, oh, it's fine. It doesn't hurt. I'm just swollen. Like what? And then to have her be like, I'm just trying to color my paper and my hand hurts.
There is a terrible movie with Lindsay Lohan that there's elements of this to it where like she's a twin but doesn't know it or something, and like her hand starts getting like fingers cut off. It's so bad that I can't
about
even
the parent
remember
trap?
The full.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I think it's called like somebody's hand.
Oh,
Jessica's hand. It's not Jennifer's body. I know that. It was probably early 2000s. It's so awful that I can't even remember the name of it.
I know who killed me.
I think that's it.
A young woman named Aubrey Fleming falls victim to a sadistic kidnapper. When her ordeal is finally over, she has a shocking surprise for her family. She claims to be someone else. Some wonder whether Aubrey is mentally ill, intentionally lying, or if there's some bizarre truth to her claim. July of 2007.
Well, it sucked, and that's my official review. And
it's a 3 out of 10 on IMDb and a 9% on Rotten Tomatoes. That's 9% positive, so not a great.
Impressive. To get 9% is truly
single
impressive.
Digits.
So much so that you might want to go watch it just because it's so terrible. It's like The Room. It's like, I was like stunned that this got greenlit and was being made. It's that bad, but it has elements of this kind of thing, except much more gruesome in it. But I guess Alex, Katie, and Lindsay all taught us that like you can feel pain that maybe isn't actually being inflicted on you, but if you're close to someone,
somebody else's pain. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like I've seen this on perhaps. Like Unexplained, the William Shatner hosted show, or something similar, where they talk to they interview people who are twins who have had something like this of like, I was just literally at home cooking dinner when my twin sister was out skiing and she fell down and broke her leg on the mountain. And I just felt like my leg I broke my leg while I was just like trying to scramble eggs in my kitchen. And I'm like, ain't that about a bitch? Like, you're twin. Right? You're like, my leg. I was like,
what's
could
happening?
You please don't hurt yourself? Because I also feel it. It's like, you have it's to take wild. Some responsibility, but that's the magic.
And you don't
of
even
twins.
Have to be the same egg. Mm-mm. Sometimes you're two different eggs. I love wombmates, by the way. Yeah. It's very cute. But you were in there at the same time. You're mm-hmm. vibing at the same time and the same juice. So you know you're going to have a connection.
You're soaking in the same juices. So
you're marinating in the same juice down
there. It's
true,
though. No, I think it's true, man. When you those formative first moments, you know, you're there's something to get on that same wavelength, I bet.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Well, thank you very much, Alex. And yeah, anybody else has twin stories, keep them coming. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back. Well, this next one is from Rhea, and the subject line is Sky Trumpets. Hi, ladies. I love the podcast so much and just want to start by saying how much I love you two. During lockdown, you are my go-to podcast, and I'd eagerly await every episode coming out each Wednesday. I've been listening to Freaky Friday for a while now, but when I went back and listened to your old 2023 episode on Sky Trumpets, it reminded me of an event that happened a couple years ago during our trip to Scotland. For a bit of context, I live in southern England, and we'd gone to Loch Ness with my family for a weekend to see if we could encounter any cryptids. Spoiler alert, we didn't, but we got something else entirely. It was the final day of the weekend, and we'd driven about 3 hours south of Loch Ness when we decided to visit Loch Carry, a really obscure lake in the middle of nowhere, which was a very special place for my mum's parents. Anyway, we'd all gotten out of the car, all trudged out in our welly boots with our lovely German shepherd, Jupiter. Then he was just a puppy. And we walked a half an hour or so until we got to the lake from the car park. We were down one of those sketchy paths that's marked with a sign, so you know it's a footpath and you're allowed to walk there. But it wasn't exactly the most well-kept path I'd ever walked down. I got brambled a lot. And that's when we heard it. I had heard your recordings of sky trumpets, and I still, to this day, don't know what the noise was. I've attached audio that you're more than welcome to play on the pod. We were in the middle of nowhere in Scotland, and we'd gone down loads of really windy, tiny country roads to get to this lake. I don't think the audio gives it justice, but this thing was loud, and went on for about a minute or so. There were no planes, no houses within a fairly decent vicinity, and it was way too loud to be building work. I'd like to know your guys' opinions on this and what you think. I've also attached the location of where this happened, which, by some miracle, was taken when I still had the iPhone setting on, where it gives you a location where your photo or video was taken. When I mean the middle of nowhere, I'm not kidding. Even if you don't decide to read this on air, I just want you to know what an impact your podcast has had and how grateful I am for what you guys do. Keep it creepy, Rhea.
Well, thank you so much, Rhea, and we're very grateful for you as well and the audio that you sent in. I've heard it, but you wanted to wait until this to read it. And also, Rhea sent a screenshot of where the location, and it is in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah,
there's
you did not
a route.
You didn't oversell it. It is isolated. I'll put a clip of this map on our Instagram so y'all can see. All right, I'm going to play the sound. Let me turn my volume up.
Yeah, it almost sounds like a plane, but Rhea said there were no planes, and given the location where this is, I don't think a ton of planes are probably flying over.
But not then.
It
You'd
sounds
see it.
Like a huge rumbling of sorts.
Yeah, that's what's eerie about some of the sky trumpets sounds. I mean, we talked about it in that episode, you're like, is the world ending right now? Mm-hmm. Like, what is this sound? And so, I can imagine if you're like going down this like bramble pathway and it's like, oh, because the beginning of the recording, it's kind of like, what lovely birds chirping. Yes. And then it's like, and it's like, oh, this is where the fucking UFO sucks me up and takes me away. Sam the Sandown Clown is coming to get me. He's going to suck me up in his plane, in his spaceship, and take me away.
You might not have had Nessie, but Loch Carry has got something else. You got Carrie over there.
It's It's a little
it's
hairy.
It's just Stephen King's carry.
Yeah, it's red, actually. It's all blood. But if any of y'all listening have been to Loch Carry and have had any weird experiences or from that area and you've heard the call of the sky trumpets, like, write us in because that it's the break in the soft, like, bird chirping and for that rumbling that really makes me nervous. Would make me very scared.
Even the scientific explanation of the earth just makes noises and, like, we don't hear a bunch of them still, like, that's almost more unsettling because you're like, shit, I never thought about that. There's just, like, noises going on all around. I mean, if we were in space, I think you'd realize how loud it is here all the time that we just kind of, it becomes background noise and you take for granted. But then when you think, what are other noises that are going around that I just, like, can't hear at that frequency? And then some of them break through or the earth shifts, everything moves. You're like, the whole house just creaked. And by that, I mean the whole earth just creaked.
Yeah. It's like, what are y'all doing down there? Why is it rumbling? What's going on? Are you working on stuff underneath me? I need to know. Especially out in the abandoned forest in the middle of Scotland. Yeah, it is something we take for granted is the megahertz of the earth, the ongoing vibration of it. Well, you got to a quiet enough place and you heard it yourself. You heard the call of the trumpets, Rhea.
You did. You heard it. Well, thank you so much, Rhea, for sending that in. And thank you to everyone for sending in your Freaky Friday stories. If you have an odd but true story, maybe you've encountered Bigfoot, you've seen a UFO, you had a brush with true crime, or you felt the presence of an otherworldly being, send them in at sinisterhood.com/Freaky Friday. If you like our free episodes, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free just to see what we're up to next, and we also release once a month an archival bonus content for all of you. Or you can join and dive into over 800 hours of bonus content.
We just recently had an Ask Reddit where we curated the answers to the most disturbing secrets into the more wholesome and wacky one. So it's a fun, lighthearted Ask Reddit. And we also have a Judge Christie coming up. Your Honor has ruled on a listener, all listener docket. And I think our next bonus content is going to be a true crime headlines with all updates on past cases. A couple of things have happened. Probably now I'm up to like 5 or 6 updates now of cases that we've covered before. So be sure you're tuned in on our bonus content for that. And you can do a free trial if you want and join for a week and do everything at whatever tier you select and cancel before the week's up, before getting charged. And just stay on that free tier if you want to. You get that monthly bonus content.
Yep.
Head over to sinisterhood.com and click shop on the top banner to check out merch like t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos. And don't forget to use your Patreon merch discount. Check the pinned post to get that.
While you're on our website, you can also review the show, follow us on socials, and check out the episode description. You'll also find fun things like topic-based playlists and links to live show tickets.
You can follow us over on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Watch full video episodes of our Wednesday episodes, as well as a story of the week on our YouTube channel. And we have clips on TikTok as well, long ones and short ones. And if you want a video that's all for you, custom video shoutouts can be requested on Cameo at cameo.com. Search Sinisterhood. We can bring McGruff, the Popple, Lucifer, Garther Brooks, anything you want. We like to make dreams. Yeah, the moon, the fuckmouth moon.
So much. Is that moon going to go on tour with us?
I don't think so because it's like ceramic and I would have to carry it around like a baby in my lap, like a lap baby, and I'm clumsy.
We'll get you
so
a
Bjorn drop it.
For it.
Yeah. Give me a baby Bjorn because I'll drop it. I'm clumsy as hell. But that's that lady that just travels. They're like, ma'am, you can't bring this through TSA. I'm like, listen, it's empty on the inside. If you're wondering what we're talking about, go to YouTube because you could see the fuck mouth moon pretty prominently.
It's right there.
Yeah,
it's right
on
there.
All episodes.
It's
so right beside, yeah, Christy, where can everybody see you on the internet?
I'm on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
You can follow me far and wide at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves. We've been saying it. We're gonna keep saying it.
There you go. We proved it today. Keep it creepy. Sinning.